In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be seated. Before I start the sermon this morning, a thank you is due. From Glacier National Park East, there was historic snow, wind, and cold that buffeted the Montana plains in late winter. In Blackfeet country, particularly hard hit. Food was limited. Places were without electricity. The roads were closed. And Fort Belknap was also affected. On March 1st, the Native American Task Force of the Diocese of Montana met next door. The Tajandawaga Society, which is supported by this parish and the diocese, was there. And Bill Felton, Blackfoot elder, and I, on behalf of Tajandawagan, challenged the Diocese of Montana with a $500 gift for work in Blackfeet and Fort Belknap country. And to date, there's been $6,230 that have come forward for the Blackfeet and Fort Belknap food banks. This parish, including Tajandawagan, contributed $2,000 to the folks in Blackfeet country and Fort Belknap. So the Tajandawagan Society, Bill and I thank you all for your contribution to all our brothers and sisters in Indian country. I want to share a journey with you this morning. At least I will share part of my journey with you. It has been very intellectually and spiritually stimulating. And while I am with you this morning, this Sunday of all Sundays remains a mystery. There's a reason for that. He's laughing in the back, but there's a reason for that. On April 7th, 1968, an ecumenical memorial service was held in this church for Martin Luther King. He had been assassinated 3 days earlier. The church was packed, and as the host, I was the preacher. 50 years ago, nearly to the day. A coincidence? Perhaps. But I don't think so. Perhaps a challenge from God, and the events still resonate in my mind. It is the Easter season, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Feast of the Resurrection. They all bring memories of another Easter. It was 1954. I was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, assigned to VMA 331 aboard the aircraft carrier Saipan in the Korean Theater. Our tour of duty was nearly over. The truce had been signed. The prisoners swapped. And in that police action, 36,500 Americans were killed. 92,000 were wounded. The 38th Parallel Line was established. And to this date, it is guarded on the north by North Korea, and on the south by South Korean and American forces. 64 years ago. Since that time, the stakes had been dramatically raised by threat of nuclear destruction by North Korea and the United States. Our orders were changed. Our aircraft, AD-4s, were stored in the hangar bay. On the flight deck, there were 24 Corsairs. All American identification had been removed. Our destination, the Bay of Tonkin, Vietnam. On Easter Sunday, the Corsairs were delivered to the remaining French forces defending the last bastions of French colonialism. It was a place called Dien Bien Phu. 5 Vietnamese, North Vietnamese divisions surrounded them, 50,000 men in total. Scuttlebutt, rumor had it, that we were to provide air cover. A detachment of Marines from the Philippines was to assist in the defense. Then we understood that President Eisenhower said, "Nope, we've just finished Korea. We are not going to become involved." And 2 weeks later, Dien Bien Phu fell. The politics in Vietnam continued, with early U.S. involvement and political subterfuge leading to the war, which ended with the American evacuation and the fall of Hanoi on April 30th, 1975. 58,000 American troops lost their lives. 53,000 were wounded. Estimates for the dead of the North Vietnam Army were 1.1 million, with another million casualties. The estimate for civilian casualties ranged anywhere from 500,000 to 2 million. The long-term effects of post-traumatic stress and physical trauma continue to take their toll. And for me, Easter has never been the same. I returned home, attended college, seminary, and was ordained priest in the Diocese of Albany in 1962. Little did I know that events happening around the world were about to change my life. In Montana, 1962, Father Nicely was vicar of the church in Whitefish, Montana. He and his wife were returning home with their newborn. There was a snowstorm. They were both killed in a head-on crash on Highway number 93. He was replaced later in the year by Father Berenger. Father Berenger was a priest from Maryland. Father Berenger committed suicide shortly before Christmas. On the other side of the world, John the 23rd, elected Pope in 1958. And 3 months into his pontificate, he called for Vatican II, which was to begin in 1963 and run through 1965. He called for ecumenism, for justice, and to throw open the windows to let new winds blow through, which changed not only Roman Catholicism, but Christianity throughout the world. Bishop Sterling appointed me vicar of Whitefish, Columbia Falls, and Eureka. I began my ministry there in the diocese in 1963. There were already two tragic deaths in the congregation. And in November of 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated. And through these tragedies, we supported one another. They supported me, and I them, and we both grew. In 1964, I performed a marriage for a young couple. Shortly thereafter, he left to attend helicopter flight school for Air America. In case you have not heard of Air America, they are the air arm of the CIA. He was sent to Cambodia. There he died. It became extremely difficult to have his remains returned to Whitefish for burial. His was a secret mission. President Johnson informed the nation that no Americans were involved in Southeast Asia. We were lied to. And memories of 1954 returned. The blurry black and white TV images from 1964 of a peaceful demonstration in Selma were engraved in our minds. Fire hoses, police dogs, and beatings of nonviolent blacks affected all in many, many ways. The congregation grew. I was elected dean of the then Polk Cathedral in Helena, beginning my ministry in 1966. And the effects of Vatican II, new liturgies, and other social changes, Vietnam, and civil rights were affecting the Episcopal Church. These were tumultuous times. The events of April 4th, 1968, have been recounted in many ways this past week. Newspapers, the media, special events. And Dr. King's last speech was on April 3rd in Memphis, Tennessee. He had been to the mountaintop. He had seen the promised land. His remarks were prophetic. I may not get there with you, but we will get to the promised land. The next night, he was assassinated. His memorial service was held at the National Cathedral on Sunday, April 7th. The same day, we and others throughout the land, including here at St. Peter's Helena, to remember Dr. King. Presidential candidate Robert Kennedy was in Indianapolis the night of the assassination. In a little remembered speech, reflecting on his brother's assassination, he spoke, "We can move in a different direction of greater political risk, or we can make an effort, as Martin Luther King did, to understand to comprehend and to replace that violence, that stain of bloodshed that has spread across our land, with an effort to understand with compassion, and to understand with love. And with tears in his eyes, he continued, "What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion and a feel of justice to those who still suffer within our country, whether they be white or whether they be black." His words ring true today. 2 months later, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. I quote from my sermon of April 7, 1968, the memorial service held at this cathedral. I remember well putting my children to bed that Thursday evening. The boys, 11 and 12, the girls, 5 and 7, there were tears in my eyes as I tucked them in and kissed them goodnight. I knew how fortunate we were. For far across the country, another home, there were children who would never be kissed goodnight again by their father. A father who would never again have the privilege of holding his children, simply because the pigmentation of his skin was a bit darker. Dr. King's words on the gathering in the Washington Mall, part of his dream, still echoes in my mind. Dr. King spoke, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." I knew then, as I know now, that until Martin's children were free, until all the children of the native peoples are free, until all people are truly free and accepted by one another as brothers and sisters, as the children of God, no one will be forever free. Martin's dream lived on in many ways, invigorated many, and locally, in the fall of 1968, the Montana Council's churches met in Deer Lodge. The theme, Native Americans. From this grew their Indian task force, which resulted in the Great Falls Indian Alliance and the Helena Indian Alliance. A new organization was created, which included Roman Catholics and Lutherans for the first time. Bishop Hunhausen, Bishop Gillum, George Harper, and I were much involved. I was elected its first president. The Helena Indian Alliance was organized, and they held their first meetings in St. Peter's. Their first offices were in Wilson Hall. With Bishop Hunhausen's help and this parish, the Friendship Center for Women Suffering from Domestic Violence was opened. All was not well. One parishioner refused to eat from the same plates from which the Indians were served. A small check was sent from a prominent member of the Helena community with a note. This was his last check, which he wrote on the back, "I'm tired of all the niggers and liberals." Father Hall, Episcopal priest, vicar of the church in Polson, celebrated Eucharist here. A woman refused communion from his black hands. Unrest and violence and division continues in our land and in the world. Some would argue that our divisions today are worse than they were during the Vietnam War. We have come far, but there are still many miles to go. And Christianity must play an important role if Christianity is to survive. Michael Gerson, a prominent evangelical writer, wrote in the most recent Atlantic Magazine article how evangelicals lost their way. And he wrote, "Christian life, the intrinsic and equal value of all human lives, has driven centuries of compassion, social and service. Religion can be the carrier of conscience. It can motivate sacrifice for the common good. It can reinforce the nobility of political enterprise. It can combat the dehumanization and elevate the goals and ideas of public life." He concluded, "Christianity is love of neighbor, or it has lost its way." The gospel for this most holy season reaffirms our mission. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus' last words to his disciples were clear. He washed Peter's feet, and by this example, commanded us to serve one another. He broke the bread and blessed the wine and commanded, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then he commanded them to love one another as I have loved you. And in today's gospel, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." After that, he showed them his hands and his feet. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus then said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." That message comes across the centuries directly to each and every one of us. The Christ is sending us. We are Christ in the world, all that he has. And it's a very important time for this diocese and this congregation. We're seeking a new bishop for the diocese and a new dean for St. Peter's. It is a daunting and difficult and important task. Rosalind Carter wrote, "A leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to go." Remember the gospel. Remember the Christ commands. We are to serve one another as he served us. We are to break the bread and drink the wine in memory of him. We are to love one another as he loved us. May we show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith. Peace be with you. And to stand and reaffirm our belief by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being.